So we're going to go to the Word, and just to give you a quick recap for some that may not have been here, we've been looking at the book of Nehemiah. We've went all through the chapters. We're now coming up to chapter 6. Chapter 6, can you believe it? Hopefully you've been doing some reading. If not, you've been listening to some audio. Amen? And you're starting to get up to speed with the story of Nehemiah. And then I was chatting to a couple of guys this week, and they said, I've already read ahead. I know what's going to happen at the end. I was like, that's okay. You're allowed to do it. But we're going to keep going faithfully through the Word of God. Now, the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, everything's looking really great. And then you remember from a couple of chapters ago, in the fourth and fifth, it starts to get intense because there starts to be opposition. There starts to be people that go, hey, hold on a minute. I just don't like good things. I actually want them to get bad. I don't like that you're doing godly things. I'd rather you were doing other things. You're like, doesn't it sound like today? It does. Because as Mark rightly said, you're either with a part of the body of Christ or you're not. You're either walking with the Lord or you're not. And if you're not, then you're part of the enemy's plan. And whether you know it or not, that's what you're fulfilling. That's what you're living out. And so today, guys, we're reminding ourselves that yes, opposition's going to come. Yes, there's going to be challenges. Yes, there's going to be highs and lows. But we would expect nothing less. Because we're the men and women of God, we're stepping out onto a battlefield 9 times out of 10, and we understand that He has given us the full armor and the full counsel of God so that we can be the men and women of God that He has called us to. So when we get to Nehemiah chapter 6, this is what it's about. I had a small title, Don't Get Distracted. That would be a game changer, maybe for you today, maybe it's for some other people, but don't get distracted. In a world that is built to distract you, The rebel message is this, don't get distracted. Imagine that. Like our whole world is designed to distract you. Like get your attention, get your eyeballs. I don't know if you knew this, but every tech company on the planet wants your eyeballs. They're the most precious thing they have because it turns into money. You know what I'm saying? Guys, right on this time, we have companies that are worth $1 trillion. Why? Because they got your attention. And they turn it into money. So what we look at is important. What gets your attention is important. And they are going to distract you till they get you. But I want to say to us today, what if we decided to focus on the things of God, become rebellious, and say, hey, I'm not even going to do distractions. I'm going to do focus. So here's the longer title. Stay focused. Don't get distracted. We're nearly there. Maybe you're on the car journey. Maybe you're going to buy your lunch later. Stay focused. Don't get distracted. We're nearly there, kids. It's going to be okay. Or stay focused. Don't get distracted. It's all going to be okay. We're going to get there. We're going to make it. Come on. These are the challenges of life as we go out into our cars, as we go out to our workplaces, as we go here, there, and everywhere. How do you stay focused when everything is trying to grab your attention? You see, the story of Nehemiah chapter 6, it starts off with a distraction. But you know what the real heart of chapter 6 is? The walls are nearly done, and halfway through, they're going to be done. So can I say it like this, that when you get near to the end of your mission or your project, or you're trying to get the last few hours in before the test, or you're trying to get this thing done, you're trying to get that thing done, don't be surprised when distraction just suddenly appears. Don't be surprised whenever distraction just pops up and goes, hey, what about me? And you have to focus at that moment and go, no, I'm nearly done. I'm nearly finished. We're going to read the start of Nehemiah chapter 6. Here's what it says, verse 1 to verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 6. If you got your phones, definitely get it up on your phone. If you got the actual page Bible, then this would be a great one to look up as well, highlight it. But it's on the screen. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. When the word came to Sanballat. Now, these are like the enemies of the camp. These are the guys that are up to no good, really. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies that had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it. Though up to that time, I had not set the doors in the gates. So you've got people coming against, you've got enemies, but right there at this moment, Nehemiah says, the walls are pretty much done. All we've got to do now is hang the doors. Like the finish line is within sight. The end is near. We're almost there. And then suddenly, distraction. And here's where it goes to. Verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent him this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Like when I think that, you know what I think of? Uno. It's like, you know, we got an important mission to do. Anybody fancy a game of Uno? Okay, sure, let's go. And it can derail us from the mission. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you got a plan to do tomorrow night. Maybe you got something to do. Like many times we've been on a mission field and you got to remember your Bible and your game, your pack of Uno cards. Like that's how it goes down. Now, the problem could be sometimes is that we can get so obsessed with winning a game I'm just talking about me. I could get so obsessed with winning a game of Uno, I bomb myself now the last few years. But it would restrict me from going to bed on time, which would mean then the next day I'm getting up tired instead of getting up glorious and ready for the mission ahead. You see, it can be just on the plane of Uno, or it can be playing a game of Uno, but either way, these things can distract you. They can distract you from what the Lord has called you to. Now, let's think of distraction just for a moment. What is distraction? Simple term is this. It takes you away from something that truly matters. Anything that takes you away from something that truly matters is a distraction. It's not planned. You didn't organize it. You didn't even ask for it. It became a distraction that got your attention, that disguised itself as an opportunity, but really it was a distraction. And if you pull the word distraction apart completely, that's exactly what it means. It means to pull things apart. Imagine that. You just came to just do your thing. You just came to build a wall. You just came to get busy on the project you're getting busy on. And then somebody phones you and goes, hey, you want to do this instead? It sounds like an opportunity, but it's actually a distraction, and it takes you away from what truly matters. And what we're going to learn in just a few moments' time, you may not get back to what truly matters because the distraction starts to become the way you live. Come on, we're going to read on. It goes on to say this, but they were scheming to harm me. It says, hey, come on, let's just meet for a coffee. But actually, they were scheming to harm me. Hey, let's just go hang out. But actually, they were scheming to harm me. Now, you might be saying, well, is everybody really scheming to harm me? No, come on. I trust that you're a good person. I hope that most people think you're great. Most people want to be around you. Most people are helpful. Most people are kind towards you. But again, distraction doesn't have to be a harmful thing. But in turn, the distraction can become a harmful thing. What you do doesn't have to be harmful, but what it can affect can. Because again, you're trying to get something done. You're trying to get finished. You're trying to put the last few bricks in the wall. And suddenly, phone call comes. Distraction comes. So notice what he says. Verse 3, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on a great project or a great work, and I cannot come down. I'm on the wall. Why should I stop while I leave it and go down to you? Notice this, verse 4. Four times they sent me the same message. Come, let's meet. Come, let's meet. Come, let's get together. Come on, let's just get together. It's going to be no big deal. But each time I give them the same answer. I'm busy, guys. I'm in the middle of an important project. I've got something important to do. I've got my eyes fixed on something greater. And I want to encourage us today, church, that we have to be careful of distractions, because distractions are going to come in many different ways, and most of the ways they come is with opportunity. And so it seems like opportunity, but actually it disguises itself, and it's truly distraction. Maybe you've been there. Quick story. Years ago when I was at uni, this is the part that frightened me, guys. This is 20 years ago now. I thought to myself, 20 is a bit extreme. But it actually was 20 years ago. So I'm in the middle of university. And Mark was actually there at the same time as well. He's my live-in chef, no joke. And so I'm in the trying to get to work every day because it was a year's placement. And so here was the problem, church. I was in placement, going to work every day, or that was at least the plan. But everybody else that I lived with in the student house was in holiday mode because they're students. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're at university. We don't have to do anything. We just rack up bills and live the life. You know, because that's just what university is, isn't it? And at the end, you hope to get a mark that would hopefully get you something that one day, after about 40 years of payments, you could pay your debt back. I don't know. But university's a fun place, but it's a crazy place. And so I'm trying to go to work every day, and they're trying to tell me, don't worry about work, just hang out with us. And that would be 12 o'clock, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And I'm like, guys, I got to go to bed. Because you don't have to get up to midday, but I got to get up at 7 a.m. and I got to get the bus. Here was the truth, church. I have no idea some days how I got from where I was staying into Belfast, other than I know I got on the bus because I had a ticket. That's the only reason I knew it. Because most of that way, I was asleep. I did not know what was going on. I just hoped that the last stop, someone would give me a nudge or something would happen that I could get off. Here's the thing. I was trying to do both, but the distraction was robbing from me. It didn't seem like a big deal at the time. It didn't seem that it was overly that important. Oh, sure, doesn't matter. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there. But the problem was, I felt that the next day, when everybody else could lie on, and I had to get up. Now, I felt like the richest man on the planet, because they were giving me 50 pounds a day. So that definitely highly motivated me. So if you're a broke student and you're getting 50 a day, you felt rich. Like, I just felt like he's the richest guy out there. But the distraction was out to get me. The distraction was out to get me. No, just come do this with us. Just do that. Or maybe we go further back and you're at your nanny's house like I was many times and you're trying to do your homework and you know what happens? You see the guys playing football outside and you're like, I just want to play. I just want to go. Like, this is how distraction works, church. It's not that it's deeply deceptive or deeply evil or any things like that. It's just you're trying to get busy with what you're busy with. You're trying to get your project done. You're trying to get your business done. You're trying to get something sorted. And then distraction just springs up. And notice at the point in the story, they're right near the end. And then suddenly distraction comes. Here's my thoughts. If the devil can't defeat you, he'll distract you. Honestly, if the devil can't defeat you, he will distract you. Point number one is this. Distraction is the enemy of destiny. If you're making notes, it's a great note to write down. Distraction is the enemy of destiny. Distraction is the enemy of destiny. You're going, well, I don't even know. Destiny? Is that like a movie word? Is that like a book word? I don't know if there's any destiny about my life. Can I say this? If you are made in the image of God and you've become a son or daughter of God, are you telling me that he would have no destiny for you? Come on. If an earthly father or an earthly mother has great plans for her kids, how much more does a heavenly father have great plans for your life? But you know what the trouble is, guys? A lot of us don't believe that, and that's step number one. Because if you don't think that you've got a high purpose or a high call in your life, then guess what? Distractions are just like almost like, they're like, oh yeah, sweet. Are you free? Yeah, sure, I'm not nothing else anyway. You know, are you busy? No, not particularly. I can go with you. But whenever you've got a purpose, and whenever you know what your purpose is, and whenever you're busy in your purpose, you know, you go, hey, you mightn't even answer the phone, number one. But if you do, you go, hey, you've got me at a bad time. I am really busy. The person on the other end, are you serious? Yeah, I've got plans, I've got purposes, I know what I'm about. Church, we need to remind ourselves that there's a high call on us, that we are men and women of God. If you've given your life to Christ, if you have not, here's the invitation. Come to Jesus and you become a co-heir of Christ. Amen? Come to Jesus and you become a man of God or a woman of God with destiny and with purpose, and you've got heaven at your, like, not at your beck and call, but behind you. Like, you have got heaven that wants you to succeed. You've got angels that come to minister to you, is what the Lord says. You have the Son who is pleading and praying and interceding at the right hand of the Father for you night and day because he wants your plans to succeed. Amen, church? Come on, the Lord is for us. Distraction is the enemy of destiny. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 41. New Testament, because these are themes that God repeats over and over again. Not because we're stupid, but because he knows we need to hear it over and over and over again. Amen? And suddenly it becomes real and we start to get it. Mary and Martha, this is the story. Let me set it up. You've got the most important person on the planet coming to your house. Martha's 100% correct. She wants to get things ready. Mary, I know what's going on with her. She's just sitting around waiting, you know? But then Jesus turns up, and poor Martha can't rest. Martha has got so used to working. Martha has got so used to being busy, and busy being the badge that she wears. Do you know why I'm busy? You know, when people turn up and go, hey, how was your week this week? Just so busy. Because it would be a disaster if they said they were lazy. So I'm just so busy. I don't really know what I'm busy at, but I'm just so busy. This is Martha. But Jesus is in the room. Jesus. Like, I know you can be busy, but if he shows up, you don't want to be busy. You want to be with him. Look, notice what he says. Martha, Martha. He calls her twice. He says, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset. Just swap that out for distracted. You're worried and upset about many things. Martha, Martha, you're distracted. I'm in the room. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. What's he saying? Martha, catch a grip. Like, I'm here. Like, I know you were getting the place ready for me, but I'm here. Like are you missing this, Martha? I'm in your house. Was I here yesterday? No, sir. You know, I don't know what the conversation was, but he's trying to get our attention. Martha, stop cleaning. Stop cooking. Stop it all. I don't care about that. I want to spend time with you. Martha, come sit down. Okay. It's hard. You know what, church? When you've got yourself so conditioned to work, it's hard to take a break. Come on, I'm speaking from here. You know, but you just, because you think that's everything that counts, but the Lord was there. And church, we got to be mindful that even our work can be a distraction. Even the things that are good in our lives can be a distraction. We need to make sure when the Lord turns up, we're with him. We need to make sure that we have got times where we rest in His presence. And if that's not your problem, then look at the other side. But we have to have moments where we don't allow distraction to rob us from our presence and our destiny in the Lord. You'll notice from the scripture we read earlier that four times they called out Sanballat and Geshem. Four times. It's like, are you really busy? It's almost like, are you sure? Nehemiah, you sure you don't want to? But Nehemiah knows what they're up to. They've been troubled the chapter before. He knows that they're not suddenly becoming nice today. Come on, guys, we got to get smart. Sometimes your phone is your worst enemy. Amen? You got to just do not disturb it. When it phones, you do not have to answer it. You can decide to ignore it if you want to. Now, don't ignore it completely. Otherwise, people are like, what's wrong with this guy? Is he alive or dead? But you don't always have to answer it. You know what I'm saying? You can turn it off. I saw somebody this week and I loved it. I just bring their little story to your attention. They said, you know what, guys? We've all been taught and trained and shown that we have to parent our kids, i.e. your kids shouldn't lead you. You should probably lead them. That's always a good idea. You should be the mom and the dad, not them. But they said, what if we did that with our phone? Could you imagine? Okay, phone, I'm putting you to bed. You know, it's like, it's late enough. You're going to bed now, chunk. But you know what ends up happening? Oh, I should go to bed, but I've got one more video to watch. Oh, my gosh. You know, our phones become the parents, and they put us to bed. Or eventually, we just can't take it anymore, or the battery runs out, or something. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy, church. And sometimes we'll have to laugh, because laughter's the best medicine. But we know there could be a little bit of truth in there. And so maybe we got to put this thing to bed. Otherwise, this thing will put you to bed. You see, we probably don't get it, but technology companies, if you even delve into them, I'm not going to say they're the devil, but let me say this. They are out for your eyeballs. They are out for your attention in every form. And they will do whatever it takes to get you, and they will learn whatever is needed to learn to get your attention, because it's the most valuable thing on the planet. Guys, distraction is the enemy of destiny. When Nehemiah gets the word four times over, notice what he says in verse 3, I'm doing a great work. I think we got to learn something like that word great or awesome or good, and we got to start attaching it to things. Because you know what we can tend to say? It's like, oh, well, sure, I'm not really doing that anything that good anyway. Yeah, sure, I'll meet you there. No, you're doing a great work. Are you telling me that the Lord's not doing a great work in you? Because He is. So if He's doing a great work in you, I don't know what you could be doing to upset it, because I don't think you're more powerful than Him. So you should agree with what He says. I'm doing a great work for God. I'm doing a great work for God. God's doing a great work in me, and I am His hands and feet, and I've got great plans and purposes, and God's called me to these things, and so I can't always say yes. In fact, sometimes I've got to say no, because I can't get distracted from what the Lord's called me to. He doesn't justify Himself. He doesn't explain Himself. He just flat out refuses. I think Nehemiah realizes, I'm in the will of God. I'm in the plans of God. This wall is significant. This wall is important. I won't get distracted. I'll just pick up the brick and I'll keep going. I like it. He keeps it simple. We've got to keep it simple. Nehemiah knew his work was great, and so I'm not going to worry about their requests. You know, as I did a little bit of research, I'm going to give you some numbers in just a moment, and I had to do this three or four times over because I couldn't believe the numbers were real. And it's this idea of distraction, and where does it bring us to? So they started a study around 2010 through 2011, and they said, we want to do a digital survey on what it's like with guys that, because the iPods had just sort of come out around 2010, I think it was, iPhones around 2008, 2009, and they said, we want to understand, is it killing our attention? What's it doing with our attention? What's it doing with distraction levels? All of that. They studied the devices, and after 2 or 3 years, here's what the data showed, that we have about 2.5 minutes of concentration back then when we checked an email before we would be interrupted to go to look at something else on our phones, maybe like a photo or a message or an alert, and so we'd have 2.5 minutes, and then we'd get distracted somewhere else. But as the years have went on, and as the companies have got better and the technology's got smarter, maybe smarter than me, maybe smarter than you, they've brought the numbers down because obviously that means more revenue. And so now instead of it being 2.5 minutes, get ready for this, it's about 47 seconds. You might even be going, I don't even think it's as long as that for me. You may be going, it's 10 or 12 seconds. But it's 47 seconds on average for the population. And this was the UK, this was America, and sort of these Western countries that have access to the digital technology like we have. And here's the scariest fact. They said once your concentration gets broken from that 47 seconds to the new thing, it takes up to 23 minutes to get your full focus back. Wow. Church, come on. And so here's what I want to say. We have been conditioned, whether you like it or not, for disruption. Our brain is almost expecting it. So you know how you're going to become a rabble in 2025? Concentrate. Focus. Get focused faith. Get a focused faith that says, you know what? I'm going to put this thing away for a period of time because I'm going into the Word of God because I know this one thing for sure. If I don't, in 47 seconds, I'm going to be distracted to something else. Just try it out today. You'll freak yourself out. 47 seconds. And it may be 23 minutes, but you know what I've discovered? Sometimes it's not 23 minutes. It's 23 years before you get back. It's a lifetime before you get back. You get distracted from this one thing. You never get back. Thing. How many unfinished projects have you got in your life? How many things have you begun that you mean to get back to, but we never quite got back there? Distraction is the enemy of destiny. Church, I want us to go to war with this thing. We need focused faith. Our brains are wired to expect interruptions. So let's be rebellious and teach our brains to focus. One step at a time. One day at a time. Point number two is this. Pressure reveals purpose. Over and over again, what we see in the book of Nehemiah is that there is pressures, there is expectations, there is people's ideas, there is governor's ideas, there's just all sorts of different things going on. And in the middle of all of this, Nehemiah is just trying to get his bearings, and he's just trying to stay true to what the Lord says. And what we realize from the start of the book, in the first few verses, is that they come with distractions. You know when distractions don't work? You know what the enemy goes to next? Accusations. I don't think you are who you say you are. Like, I think you're not the real you. I think this, I think that. That's exactly what happens, church. In verse 6, it's like a whole little portion of a letter. And it says it like this. It's like, see that Nehemiah boy? I think he wants to be king. See that Nehemiah boy? I think he's out for himself. I think all the people that he thinks that he's helping, I think he's using them against their own will. They write this whole letter of accusation against him. And then they send it. You know what Nehemiah says? You guys are out of your heads. Like, I've come from a comfortable life 800 miles away. I've come to make a difference. In fact, I came to die. I came to do good. What is wrong with you people? Church, I want to say, I think we see this in 2025. There are people just trying to do good. And what tends to happen? After a while, like, I wonder why they're trying to do good. We get suspicious. Maybe they're pushing it too far. You know, maybe they've got a hidden agenda. Can I just say, it's because maybe we've been let down so much by so many people that after a while you start to believe that everyone's suspicious, that everybody's an enemy, that no one's out for any good. And when someone looks too good, you're going, too good to be true. But can I say this? Jesus was too good to be true, but he was more than good. He was way better than that. Church, he's believable. He is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so as they came to get Nehemiah, they came with accusation, and maybe you felt that in your life. The pressure is building, the accusations are flying, the distractions keep coming. But here's the thing, church, and maybe it's the same in your life. The wall is almost done. It's almost done. It's not like we're in day number one. We're near the end. Maybe you have faced this in your life. You're going, I'm just trying to get finished. I'm right at the end of this thing. I feel like a breakthrough is coming. Get ready, because as soon as the breakthrough is about to come, distraction is going to try to come and steal it right at the last second. Accusation is going to come and try to make you out to be a liar, make you out to be somebody different. But in Nehemiah's day, it was no different. But when it came, he stood firm because he understood what the Lord was saying. He said, we're close. We're really close. We're excited, but we're exhausted. And this is the part you have to remember, is that they've been building this wall day after day. You read the chapters or two before with us. There was famine. There was problems. There was issues. If nothing else, you're just tired. Like, this is, we're not even builders. Do you remember the story? There are priests there. There are perfume guys there. There are jewelers there. They're not builders. They're not even made for this stuff. They're probably finding muscles they didn't even know they had. Aches and pains they didn't even know was in there. And they've got it. So they're tired. And the enemy loves to come just at the last moment and accuse you and try to bring something up and try to remind you of your past or try to remind you of what you said and try to remind you of this, try to remind you of that. Can I say this, church? Come on, that's a clear sign that you're near the end. It's a clear sign that breakthrough is just about to come. Because under real pressure is where we find the enemy start to work. I think this from the story of Nehemiah, that they were just about to hit breakthrough. Just about to hit. And as I thought about this, I thought about that. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's been on the documentaries and the programs for years now. It's not that big of a deal. But the Navy SEALs in America, they do this thing called Hell Week, which is basically this idea of that we're going to come together for a week. All these new recruits are going to come to it. We're going to put them through their paces. And we're going to make sure by the end of this week, they are who they say they are. We're going to make sure that they are battle ready, that they are ready for the warfare that will come, that they're ready for the real thing. And so what they do is they test them to beyond testing. Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen it, you see they keep them up at night. They don't let them sleep. The minute they sleep, they wake them back up. But right there in the middle of the whole thing is this giant bell. And this is what the officers say. Guys, at any point, if you want to just chill, ring the bell. At any point, if you want to go for ice cream, ring the bell. At any point, if you just want to quit, if quitting sounds better to you than being here, just go ring the bell. At any point, if you ever get too tired, just ring the bell. You know what they're after? They're trying to make a separation. We can only take the guys that are really committed here. We can only take the guys that can pass the test. We can't take guys that are not fully in, because the problem is, this is the training ground. This is the test. And if you can't pass the test, you'll never make it on the battlefield. Like, if you can't get through it on the training stage, you'll never make it when we bring you to the public stage and where the enemy is real, because we're not your enemies. We're just trying to test you. And I want to say to us, church, maybe you've been through some testing, and maybe the enemy's trying to test you. But can I say this, that God's going to use that testing to prove you and perfect you, so when the real test comes, when the real battlefield comes, you're ready for it. You're ready for it, church. And I know we can say to ourselves, well, do we have to do that? But I'm saying this, God has plans and purposes for your life. And if God's got plans and purposes for your life, so does the enemy. And the enemy's plans are not just to try to harm you a little bit. He's not just trying to, you know, make you not feel good. Come on, church, let's be real. The enemy says, I'm out to kill you, destroy you, and take away everything you ever thought you had. Come on, this is the life of the enemy, church. You got to be real about this thing. But God says, I've come to give you life. But there will be battles, and that's why I give you the armor of God. That's why I give you the word of God. That's why I give you the promises of God. Because no matter what you face, I will have you ready and prepared. You just have to be aware of this stuff. You have to be aware of the battle for your mind. You have to be aware of the battle for your attention. You have to be protective on your time. You've got to be mindful of distractions. You've got to be mindful of accusations. This is what we see in Nehemiah. And then there's this really interesting thing, and maybe you've felt this when pressure gets on. It's this interesting thing that almost like our brains do by default. It's like you're near the end. Ever had this moment where you're preparing for a test and it's the night before and the next day is going to be the biggest day ever, and then suddenly your mind starts waking up and thinking about, oh, I got to do this thing, I got to do that thing. Did I put the bins out? Did I put my Asda order through? You know, did I buy enough bulbs? I don't know. The silliest things start to come through our minds. And I started thinking about this. I started to drill down into this stuff. And here's what I began to realize. Whenever you get under pressure, your mind looks for relief. Whenever you get under pressure, whenever it's like near the end and breakthrough's just about to come, 9 times out of 10, that's where the real tension comes. That's where the real time crunch comes. That's where the real battle comes. And in that moment, if you're not careful, your own mind will eject you out and go, we just need relief. Let's go get ice cream. Okay, don't talk about ice cream. Okay, I just need relief. Let's just go do this thing. And remember, that relief can turn to distraction. And when you were nearly at the end, you only had 5 or 6 blocks to go, 5 or 6 bricks to go, just a half a day's bricks to go, 23 minutes to get back to full focus. And then I got distracted somewhere else. Oh, do you know what? I just never got back to that thing. How many times have we heard that? Maybe you've even said that. We didn't realize the cost of the distraction, but there are things in our lives that go, oh, yeah, actually, I never got back to that thing. You know, as a university, and then I just end up getting distracted. I never got back to that thing. Like, I was doing this project, and I just never got back to that thing. It seems innocent at the time, but it can destroy and rob a complete future. Complete future. See, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't always turn up like a devil. He turns up like a friend. Relief seems like a good thing, but it can end up in distraction. But what we see from Nehemiah is that when the pressure comes, he goes to purpose. When the pressure comes, he goes to purpose. Here's what it says in verse 9. But I prayed, and I love this about Nehemiah. What you see is a man of prayer. A man of prayer that knew how to pray, that prayed all the times that he could, and it would strengthen him. And this is what he prays here, verse 9. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Wow. Isn't it interesting what he prays here, church? He doesn't say strengthen my mind. He doesn't say strengthen, like, counsel my enemies. He says strengthen my hands. This is a practical work. The enemy's trying to come psychologically. The enemy's trying to come spiritually. But Lord, I recognize that this work that I'm involved in right now is a practical work, and it needs my hands. Strengthen my hands. I love that Nehemiah doesn't even get distracted in prayer. Many times have we done that? Oh, I ain't gonna start praying against that problem. I ain't gonna start praying. No, he doesn't pray against any of that stuff. He doesn't pray against Sambalat, Tobiah, Geshem. He doesn't pray against any of that. The word tells me that he just says, Lord, strengthen my hand. This is what I need help with right now, Lord. All that other stuff's just going to distract me. All that other stuff, even prayer life, can distract me. I'm going to stay focused with what God's called me to. I'm to build right now. That's it. Lord, strengthen my hand. Church, there's so much that the Lord wants to teach us with this. See, three little keys I want to give to you. When time is short, don't panic, refocus. When time is short, don't panic, refocus. How do you do that? Prayer. Get into prayer. Say, Lord, okay, what? Keep me mindful, Lord. Nehemiah was sharp at this point. He'd been with the Lord for a long time. He was sharp. With you, it might be more straightforward. You might go, Lord, help me to focus. What am I supposed to focus on right now? Help me to understand. And he will show it. He will reveal it. Number two, when pressure increases, pray deeper. Just pray deeper. When pressure gets deeper, you pray deeper. When pressure gets more intense, you pray all the more. We all love to talk, but talk to God. Amen? Talk to God and let that prayer life transform you. And then realize that consistency is going to break through. It's just those little things. I ain't going to be consistent. Just keep doing it. One brick at a time. One brick at a time. One thing at a time. One part at a time. I'm going to see this thing happen. And then look at verse 15. So the wall was completed. Wow. Isn't this crazy, church? This is what we're trying to get to the whole time. The first 14, 13 verses of Nehemiah chapter 6 would tell you this thing's never getting done. But because one man kept his focus, verse 15, so the wall was completed in 52 days. Wow. Wow. Church, if we're faithful with God, God's faithful with us. If the enemy comes at you, stop worrying about it. It's just part of the deal. Stay focused. If the enemy comes and he's trying to do all this stuff, don't get distracted with all the smoke and the mirrors. Stay focused on the real thing. What's God called me to do? Build a wall. Okay, one brick at a time. One brick at a time. One brick at a time. Stay focused on what God's called you to do. And then suddenly it will be done. Okay, 52 days. You say to yourself, 52 days, what are we talking about here? You might even read that and go, okay, it's done. That was cool. And then 52 days, okay, he's just jumped in to 52. But can I just give you a context of the wall, just in case you think it was a garden fence? It was not a garden fence that they were building. Here we go. The length of these walls were 2.5 miles long. 2.5 miles long. Okay, you're saying to yourself, well, with a couple of hundred people, maybe that's all right. No, they were 40 feet tall. Like 40 feet tall. They were lying in ruins, most of them beforehand. They're not just a little bit thick. They are 8 to 10 feet thick. You can march armies down these walls. This is the idea of it. You would march the army around the walls to intimidate the enemy that comes. In other words, when you would build these walls and the enemy would come to your city, they go, oh my gosh, there's no way we're getting in. There's no way. This is not a garden fence that blows down in the next storm. Come on, church. This is a wall that tells the enemy we cannot be defeated. 52 days. What does the 52 mean? I think we could get distracted into the 52 and get into biblical numeracy and all this different stuff and not be quite sure what it means. Can we just take it at face value? 52 days was extraordinary. It was supernatural. No cranes, no Jesse B's, no lorries, no even well-known builders. These were priests, these were perfume guys, these were gold guys. They had no clue how to build, and in 52 days, they restored the whole walls. Guys, this is a supernatural work. Can I just underline this? Pardon me on your heart. You are supernatural people with supernatural work. This is who you are. This is who we are, church. We're not just going through the mundane, everyday task of just life, thinking, well, that's just another thing, that's just another thing, that's just another thing. No, it is supernatural work. You're not just going to work. Like, go with me just for a moment. This is what can happen. In our minds, we say to ourselves, when I'm praying, oh my goodness, I'm just transforming heaven. I'm destroying the works of the enemy. Oh, I'm like a spiritual giant. But when I go to work, I don't know. I go with the flow. It's just work. It's just work. It's just work. Guys, there is no button in us that we switch in the mornings that goes from sacred to just natural. There's no button in me that when I press it, I go from holy to unholy. There's nothing like it. If you are a son of God or a daughter of God, that's who you are 24/7, even when you're sleeping and there's like, you know, a little bit of something. I don't even know what I said. It's just funny. But like, we are real people. We are real people with real issues. And God took ordinary people, and in 52 days, they just destroyed the works of the enemy. That's what was really going on. In 52 days, they destroyed the work of the enemy that had stood, let's just think of it like this, for 150 years. Because these walls, these ruins, had been in that form for 150 years. And in 52 days, they destroyed the works of the enemy. How do you do that? if you don't have a supernatural God? How do you do that and not say that that was miracle work? I'm going to say to us, church, see, raising your kids, it is miracle work. You may be going, amen, hallelujah. But like, you getting a job is miracle work. Like, you going to your work every day is supernatural. You have to get this. Otherwise, you're going to fly under the radar and you're going to believe everybody else. Everybody else. If I hang out with everybody else, I'm going to think like I'm like everybody else, and I'm going to think the same. If I hang out with the Lord, I'm going to go, I'm made for so much more. I'm going to become like Him. I'm going to start talking about things that are different. I'm going to start acting in different ways. I'm going to go to my workplace, and you know what? I'm going to start preaching. I'm just going to start preaching because that's just who He's called me to be. Church, you're the light of the world. We keep saying it over and over and over again, hopefully till you get sick of it, till you start doing it, because this is who you are. So you're not a person that goes into one environment and just suddenly you're unholy, you're just a nobody, you're just a nothing. No, you're a man and woman of God with a clear destiny and a purpose. And the only thing that needs to connect for you is that. This is it. Just that, that's who I am. I'm a man and woman of God with purpose and with destiny. Maybe we'll just even say it like this. If Jesus said that your life is to be greater than His, then the destiny that you have in your life is as good as His. He came to defeat sin, death, and the grave. But the Lord says, you're going to go and do greater things than me. So that tells me that my destiny is as good as Jesus. And I'm not going to the cross. I'm just trying to get to work every day. I'm just trying to do this thing. I'm just trying to do that. But I'm trying to elevate our thinking. I'm trying to elevate our thinking. Because if I can elevate our thinking, you're going to live differently. You're going to give differently. You're going to save differently. You're going to talk differently. You're going to act differently. Because everything's changed. I'm a man or a woman of destiny. Every distraction that comes my way is just trying to distract me from the purposes that God has for me. Why did Jesus spend so much time with the Father? I can't get distracted. This mission's too important. I can't get distracted. This mission's too important. Why did the Lord keep reminding Himself of what His plan and purposes was? Because He knew the tactic of the enemy. He can't destroy me, so He'll distract me. If He could just get me to earth and just make me go to people's houses for tea all of the time, it would get me distracted from the cross. If the enemy could just get me to go, oh yeah, it doesn't matter what you do here on earth, Jesus, you just call the angels to come, they'll save you. You just turn the rocks into bread, that'll be no big deal. No, all those things were to distract them. See how deadly it is, church? Distraction disguises itself as opportunity all of the time, but it's just plain old distraction. And all it's trying to do is get you to say yes when you need to say no. All it's trying to do is break your attention on a job or on a project that you're just trying to get focused on and you're just trying to get finished. All it's trying to do is derail you from a project that's nearly done. But in your mind, you're going, I don't even know if I'm close. I think a word that God wants to speak into some people's hearts today is this. You are far closer than you realize to the breakthrough you've been praying for a long time. Far closer. You are far closer to the breakthrough than you realize. But be mindful of this. If you're close, and I believe that you are, that the enemy's testing the ground for the hope that he could figure it out too. Because if he could figure out that you're close, he will come with the distractions like four times, five times. Be ready with an answer. And if the distraction doesn't work, he'll send letters out to accuse you. He'll send Facebook messages out to accuse you. He'll send Instagrams out to accuse you. He'll send TikToks out to accuse you. I don't know if you face that, but as you start to walk with the Lord, don't be surprised what accusations can come your way. It's going to come, church. Why? Because you're a mighty man and woman of God who has realized what they're called to, and now you've got laser focus and you're going after it. If you're not sure what the call of God in your life is, just spend time with them. He'll begin to reveal it to you over and over and over again. Verse 16. When all our enemies heard about this, the ones that have been puking Nehemiah for so long, the ones that have been trying to stop the dream for so long, when all our enemies heard about this, they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Wow. Isn't that interesting? They're starting to talk about our God. Come on. These people that tried to derail, the opposition that tried to overcome, the opposition that maybe didn't get it, the opposition that got confused, now they know what's really going on. Gosh, this was a God thing. This was a God thing. We haven't even got time, church, to go to the last part of this, what we're trying to talk about today, but I'll underline this one last point. Nehemiah, every time that he was asked to come for something petty, like, let's go and play Uno. Let's go and meet at Uno, let's just go for a coffee. He just says, no, I haven't got time. I can't come down from this wall. The work is too important. I haven't got time. Church, you know what I want to pray for today? I want to pray for spiritual discernment so you will know when it's a good, when it's a proper meeting that you need to go to, and when the other 90% of the times it's just a distraction you need to say no to. Because you're doing something too important to let it go. Because if you let the important thing go, there's a danger you don't get back to the important thing. There's a danger that the enemy wins and the Lord misses out on your time and your ability at that moment, which could hold a whole generation back. When they restored the walls, it transformed the Israelites for years. For years. Because the walls were restored. Our work is important. What's the response when the enemy tries to distract us? Sorry, I'm doing too much of an important job to leave it right now. I can't come down. Can we stand together? Come on, church, we're going to pray. I want to read these six things over your heart. How do we keep our focus? How do we win the battle for focus? Number one, see the battle for what it is. You got to recognize the battle that you're in. You got to see it for what it is. The enemy's just coming to try to distract you. Spiritual warfare is trying to get your attention. Number two, remember what you're building. Keep focused on the vision. If you keep focused on the vision, you're bulletproof to what the enemy would try to distract you with. Number three, pray for strength, not escape. Pray for strength, not escape. We learned this lesson, very valuable, from our Chinese missionaries. Our Christians in China years ago, when we would pray that the persecution would lessen, they said, don't pray for that. You're silly praying for that. Pray that we would have strength to endure. We're seeing far too many miracles. We're seeing far too many salvations. You know what the end result has been, church? China, per percentage, sends more missionaries to all the world than any other country. Wow. Wow. Persecution. But Jesus lifted up in the middle, produced disciples like never before. The enemy cannot defeat us. The enemy cannot defeat us. Keep focused. Pray for strength, not escape. Number four, say no to stay on a mission. Say no to stay on mission. Realize what the mission is. Once you know the mission, say no to everything else. No. I say no to everything else. We haven't got time to go into it, but you know in your life, say no to everything else. Number five, worship your way back to clarity. If you find yourself that noise is too crazy, that life is too hectic, get a worship song on in the car, get your headphones on, wherever you need to be, and start to worship and get the clarity back to who am I and what am I about and what has the Lord called me to. And the last thing is this, start again. Don't stay stuck. Again, if distraction is deadly, well, this is equally as deadly, where we get stuck in a position that we don't need to get stuck. Stop beating yourself up. You made a mistake. Wipe it off. Go again. Today's a new day. Tomorrow, if you get there, will be another new day. Forget it. Start again. Hope rises every time. New mercies come every morning. Don't allow the enemy to rob you. Church, we're stepping into a season. A season of breakthrough. A season of building. We talked about it last time. These walls will only be as strong as our hearts. Come on, this thing will only stand as well as we stand. It will only be as strong as us because we are the walls. Come on, the Lord is not building a church because it's about a church. The Lord is building a people because it's about a people. Amen? And as the world sees us, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see Jesus. Amen? Come on, let's prophesy to our hearts even if you don't believe it. When the world sees you, they see Him because you're clothed in righteousness, because you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, because you've got blessing and favor on your life. And today as we pray, I want to remind us, let's pray that the Lord will strengthen our hands. Let's pray that the Lord will strengthen our hands. We prayed for our hearts last time, let's pray for our hands today. My heart is where all my issues are going to come from. I've got that sorted. God's taking care of it. My hands is what's going to get things done. Amen? Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And there's so many other things that we want to say, Lord, but I pray that Holy Spirit, that you are speaking loud and clear into our hearts. Distraction is the enemy of destiny. We've all got a destiny, says the Lord. It's significant. It's great. It's bigger than mine. That's what the Lord says. And I encourage this church to see every opportunity that might be disguised as that for what it really is. Many times it's just distraction. Strengthen our hands today. That's what Nehemiah prayed. He didn't pray against his enemies. He didn't pray against his family. He didn't pray against his friends that had him confused. He simply prayed, Lord, strengthen my hands. Keep me strong, Lord, in the vision. Keep my eyes focused on you as I go forward in the purposes and plans that you have for me. And Lord, I pray if any of us are confused what our purpose is, spend time with the Lord. He'll reveal it quickly. Lord, you are wonderful, you are great, and you're all sufficient, and your grace is more than enough. In Jesus' name.